Why don't you guys all turn to 2 Corinthians 3:5. Actually, you don't have to turn to it because I've got it up here. Our very first one. What you guys can turn to, so we don't have this transition time then, is Matthew 5. You guys can turn to Matthew chapter 5, because that's where we're going to head next. 661. So now we're going to talk about believing in others versus believing in God. Another thing that concerns me, along with this whole journey of faith that we have, is when we put our trust and we put our faith in someone else. That we kind of vicariously, you guys know the word vicariously, you kind of through someone else, you get to God. And your whole belief system, your whole faith, is dependent on someone else's level of faith. And we start here at 2 Corinthians 13:5 as kind of a challenge. This was a challenge when Paul wrote it to the Corinthians. And he says this. He says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." We got to understand that 2 Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth. He was writing to church-going people. People who claimed to be followers of Christ, every single one of them. And he is asking them to examine themselves, to put themselves under a test, to see whether they are truly in the faith, whether they were truly followers of Christ, Christians. In the faith is just a term that they use for Christian, for what we say Christian, being a Christian now, being a follower of Christ. And this is the same challenge that he wants to pass on to us. It's okay for us, and it's actually probably an important thing for us, to every so often examine our lives and go, am I in the faith? Is my life, does my life look like a follower of Jesus? Or am I a churchgoer? Which was his challenge to these guys. Because a lot of these Corinthian church people were churchgoers, meaning that they went to church, but it wasn't real for them. The Corinthian church was known, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, they dealt with many different issues. But their biggest issue consistently was open sin. They were sinning consistently and constantly. He comes in the previous section here and is challenging them concerning their conduct. And he's telling them that some of you guys are in sexual relationships outside of marriage. I know you are. And he says, I'm coming, and I'm going to have to deal with that when I get there. Some of you guys are gossiping regularly. Some of you guys are talking about people. You're slandering them openly, regularly doing that. You guys, some of the people in your church are consistently living lives that don't represent a follower of Christ's life. And so he gets to this point, and he says, you guys, as a church, as individuals in this church, you need to put yourself under a test. You need to look at your lives and see, are you comfortable with sin? See, what happened consistently with the Corinthians is when Paul was with them, things changed. Paul would spend time in Corinth, and those people who were living these lives outside of Christ, they would kind of correct their behavior. Why? Because Paul was looking. Paul was watching. And they were trying to live up to the standard that they knew Paul was looking for. They were looking to Paul for their standard of faith. Not so they could have faith of their own, but so that they could look like they were followers of Christ. They would correct their behavior. My question for you guys is, are you guys like the Corinthian believers? I'm challenging all of you guys to examine your lives tonight. We all need to do that. But the examination is, what's your life consistently like? Let's use percentages. More than 50% of your life, what does your life look like? More than 75% of your life, what does your life look like? Does it look like the same life that you live here on Wednesday night? Does it look like the same life you lived at the retreat? Does it look like that? Or does it look like the Corinthian church when Paul was away? That's just full of sin. Examine your life. And my challenge to you guys is no matter where you think you are on that journey of faith, that tonight you would just take a second as we talk and as we go to So What Time, and you would examine your life. Don't walk into what we're going to talk about tonight assuming that you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Test yourself. See, when I was in junior high, actually shortly before junior high, I walked down the aisle when I was five. I was in a Baptist church that the pastor got up every week and did an altar call where he said, if you want to follow Jesus, come to the front and we'll pray and you'll be a follower of Jesus. So I did the walk down in front of my family. I knew that my family was watching, and I walked down and I prayed the prayer with the pastor, and I walked away a Christian. Now, I don't know my heart back then. I can't even remember, really, and God can only judge that. But I can tell you this. My life from that point on didn't change one bit. I was still the kid I was before. I got up to the point where I was in sixth grade, and I looked up to my brother and basically wanted to be my brother in every way. And my parents were out of town. My brother came home with a bunch of his friends, brought alcohol, and I got drunk when I was in sixth grade. This sixth grade little kid got drunk because I thought it was cool. I was hanging out with my brother and his friends, and I wanted to be just like him, and I got drunk. And we watched an X-rated movie that night, and we just kind of lived exactly opposite as I knew my life should be. And I lived most of junior high that opposite guy. The guy who over here would go drinking with my buddies, would smoke with my buddies, would be looking for any way to do any kind of sin I could get involved in. And every Sunday, I was sitting in Sunday school, going to church. And people actually looked up to me. My dad was a pastor through some of that time. And I was the good church kid. And I went to youth group, and I said the right things, and I knew the right things to say, and I lived two completely separate lives. I believe I was not in the faith. If I really would have examined myself, most of my life, except this little section on Sunday morning, and sometimes on Sunday evenings when we met, this little section was the life that was my Christian life. And 90% of the other time, I lived however I wanted to live, apart from Christ. My life wasn't submitted to him. I needed to examine myself and say, am I in the faith? Eighth grade year, I'm on a bus trip to this little town called Elko, which was a little bit bigger than the little town that I was in. And it was a band trip. We go to Elko, we're on our way back, a buddy in the band had a thing full of alcohol, and I was drinking with him, and I got drunk and was stupid on the bus. Everybody knew I was drunk, and got called into the principal's office and got suspended for 3 days from school. Suddenly, that stupid life I was living and this church life came crashing down, and everybody in my church life knew who I really was. My pastor came over, we spent a little bit of time together, and I spent that 3 days of suspension, best suspension ever, examining my life, examining myself, whether I was in the faith. And I knew I wasn't. Once I really took a look at myself, I went, this is not real for me. I examined myself, and I walked out of that 3 days follower of Christ. Wholeheartedly. Yes. calling you guys to examine yourself tonight. Paul's calling you. God's calling you to examine yourselves tonight. Matthew chapter 5. Hopefully you guys already have that open. I'm just going to touch on a few verses here. It's not really the content of the verses. It's kind of the idea of the verses that I want to cover. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The whole point of the Sermon on the Mount, just give you a quick snapshot. Jesus is getting up. He's talking to these crowds about how different real followers of Christ are, or real followers of God are, from what was currently considered followers of God, who weren't really followers of God at all. So there's a big difference. And he said, you've been listening to these leaders, these religious leaders, these church guys who probably would translate to pastors to us now, guys who are, these rabbis who would teach scripture. They were looking to these guys and they were listening, they were eating up whatever these rabbis said. Whatever you say, I'll do. I need to drink Sprite, not Coke. Okay, I'm drinking Sprite. I need to not go to McDonald's. Okay, I'm not going to McDonald's. They would listen to whatever they said and they would follow them and do whatever they said to do because they wanted to be followers of God and they lived through these rabbis to get to God. Whatever the rabbi says, that's the way to get to God. And this is what he says. Verse 21. He says, you have heard that it was said, these are the rabbis he's referring to here, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I say, any one of you that is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Said, you've been listening to this? Someone telling you how to follow God? Here's the truth. Verse 27, he says, you've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You've heard this from the rabbis. This is how you follow God. That's not how you follow God. Here's the truth. Again, verse 33, again, you have heard it said, you've heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath. You guys getting the picture here? He's saying, you've been listening to these guys telling you how to follow God. I'm telling you that's not how you follow God. You've been listening to these guys who claim to be followers of God, who are telling you what they think is the best way to live, which is fine, but here's the truth. It's different. Verse 38 says, you have heard it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what these rabbis were saying. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This is how you live. There's actually Old Testament scripture that would back that up, and they were teaching on that. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what you do. And he says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Verse 43, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. This is what you've heard. This is the truth. They're two related but different things. And it all starts in verse 20. Go back up to verse 20. When he says this, he says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, the religious teachers, the religious leaders, and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Guys, you got to understand the context of this. These were the leaders that people followed. If you wanted to know how to follow God, you followed these guys and you listened to these guys. That was the standard. That was the cultural standard. You listen to what they say and you do what they say. I seriously believe, guys, that we live in a time that this is true. That people listen less to the word of God and more to what people say about following God. Now, don't get me wrong. Teachers are an important part of the body. That's my job. That's what I do. I teach God's word to make it clear. But I think we live in a time that people listen to these really fine-sounding arguments about Christianity that have very little to do with the word of God itself. They're just loosely associated. I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you are believing in me, it's going to fail you. If your faith is based on my faith with God, it's going to fail you. If your faith is based on your parents' faith in God, it's going to fail you. If your faith is based on someone you respect who's a spiritual leader in your life, and you live your life following them and their and what they're about, it's going to fail you. It failed these guys. Jesus was trying to correct it, to get it righted. Believing in God and what he says will never fail you. Never. One of the things I love the most, I think I've shared this story a couple years ago. One of the things I love the most about my youth pastor, his name was PJ. One of the stories that he would talk about from his life is that he went to college, he went to a Christian college, and he wasn't a believer when he went to this Christian college, which happens pretty frequently. He went to Christian college, not a believer. He became a believer while he was at college. And he did this thing after he became a believer where, because at Christian college, you hear all sorts of ideas and all sorts of stuff floats around. And people would say stuff like, well, God says you need to do this. And every single time he made it a principle in his life, he said, show me where. Show me where God says that. Most of the time, sometimes people will go, oh, okay, yeah, it's right here. It's right here in Matthew 13. And he'd go, yeah, oh, cool. And he would learn that way. Because he'd go, yeah, that is what God says. But most of the time, people will go, well, I don't know, it's in there somewhere. That's what I've been told, God says. It's going to fail you. Believing what you hear is going to fail you. Trusting, believing in God's word, God and his word, will never fail you. John 3:16. Nice, turn over to that. What is it? 7:27. John 3:16, you guys probably have this memorized. It's the most memorized verse in the whole Bible. Problem with that is I think sometimes when we know a verse and we've heard it 50,000 million times, and we've said it 50,000 million times, sometimes I wonder whether we ever really heard it. Listen to what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The context of this verse is Jesus talking to this guy, Nicodemus, who was a spiritual leader at that time. The cool thing about spiritual leaders, a lot of times the spiritual leaders in that time got a bad rap. I kind of gave them a bad rap here in the last verse here in Matthew chapter 5. But the cool thing about Nicodemus is he starts talking to Jesus by saying, Jesus, it's clear that you're from God. It is clear to me that you are from God. Teach me more. I want to know more. This guy had it right. And he's seeking this truth from Jesus, and he as he recognizes that Jesus is from God, Jesus says, you know what needs to happen is you need to be born again. He's like, how can that happen? How can you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? It's ridiculous. You can't do that. It's impossible. And he says, you need to be a new person. You need to be changed, completely transformed. You must die and this new birth happen. And then he gets to this point, and he says, for God so loved the world, every single person in the world, he loved them so much. His love filled up to the point that he sent his Son to die. The God of the universe sent his Son, his one and only Son, the only one he had, he sent his Son to die. The reason for that, the only reason for that, was that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish. Whoever believes in him would have eternal life, not only now, but forever. A life that never ends. True life that never ends. whoever believes in him. You know what believes in him is saying? That those Greek words grouped together is saying believing in someone to the point of complete belief. Or trust is more the word we would probably use. Believing in someone to the point that you trust them completely without reservation. It's a whole, a complete trust without holding back a thing. That whoever believes in who God is and what God says completely to the point of complete trust would not perish but have eternal life. These words are saying you're all in. The person who's all in with God will not perish but have eternal life. The person who puts all his eggs in one basket is new and complete and will not perish but have eternal life. He's not talking about the person who hedges bets. Do you guys know what hedging bets are? It's like let's say the Patriots and the Falcons go to the Super Bowl. I think that is the most likely scenario at this point. Okay, Falcons, Patriots in the Super Bowl, and I look at that and I go, there is no doubt the Patriots are going to win. No doubt. There's no question about that. I'm going to bet $500 that the Patriots. They're going to win. There's no question. $500. I know that's a lot of money. I'm going to put that in there. I'm going to bet that. It's a sure winner. But, you know, any football team could win on any given Sunday. You know what? I'm going to put a $200 bet on the Falcons. That way, if the Falcons win, I won't lose so much. I'm hedging my bets. You can't hedge your bets. You can't go, you know, I'm gonna sort of be put, you know, give a little bit of my life here to God, but I'm gonna put a little bit of my life into this, and I'm gonna keep a little bit of my life in this, and I really like this part of my life, and I'm not gonna change that at all. I'm just gonna hedge my bets. God says that Jesus died so that whoever believes in trust in him and what he says completely, fully, without reservation. So moves all in. Will not perish, but have eternal life. The cool thing about God is he's nothing like the Patriots or the Falcons. He's a sure bet every time. You can go all in because there's no doubt. The question is, are you willing to go all in? Have you truly come to a point where you're not trusting in what your parents have done? You're not trusting in me? You're not trusting in any of the staff? You're not trusting in any of your friends? You're trusting solely your life to, you're trusting God with your life, everything. You got it all. Guys, only believing in God to the point of complete trust will save you. I almost didn't use those words, the will save you words. I almost didn't, and the will not save you, because I was like, man, that's just too harsh, too clear. But you know what? That's what he's saying. I mean, he's saying you trust in what other people say. It's not going to save you. You believe in God fully, all in, and it will save you. That's what he's saying. And honestly, that's the only thing that'll save you. Going all in. Examine yourself. Test yourself. Are you all in? Are you in the faith? Have you based your faith on others or on what God has said and done? I'm telling you guys, God's not going to hear any of what you have to say when you go, you know what? Nate said it was this way. By the way, I hate that more than anything in the world. I hate it. I understand why people say it. But I hate hearing, Nate said this, and Nate said that. I don't want you to know what I said. I want you to know what this says. Have you based your faith on others or what God has said? Are you all in? What do you need to do tonight? I can tell you what I think you should do tonight. Trust him completely. That's what I think you should do. What are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? Give me a second to fill it out. I'm going to remind you guys of the do principle at James chapter 1, which says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. If you're here tonight and we looked at these passages and you're just listening and nothing changes, you're deceiving yourself. You're just lying to yourself. You're fooling yourself. It says, do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So again, when you guys go to your so what time, you guys will have a chance to answer that question. What are you going to do? What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do this week? How is this going to change you? Let me pray. Lord, just thank you for your truth. Thank you for how clear it is. Sometimes I want to hold back on how clear it is, but it is just so clear. I just pray for the people in this room that every single one of us would examine ourselves tonight, would look at ourselves and ask, am I in the faith? Have I trusted you completely? Have I trusted what you said completely? Because that's the only thing that's acceptable before you, God. And we want to be acceptable before you. Just pray that you'd help us to make whatever decision we need to make tonight. And that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but that we would allow it to change us. Pray this on your knees.